Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray indeed this morning we might be taught by it and instructed, that we might live lives that honour you and glorify you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd ask someone to prepare a prop for me, and I just forgot who that was. Ah, Hannah, great. Can I have... Thanks. What's this?
It's your prop.
I asked for life-size cardboard cutouts that I could write on.
Are you discriminating based on size?
No, but I hardly think that's a life-size cardboard cutout that I can write. If I was to write some notes on that for everyone to hear, hands up anybody who could actually read that. Hands up who's honest. No, everyone else. I knew I should have given this job not to one of the youth, but to someone more reliable. Someone like... Nick, you're reliable. Can you come up here? Yeah. Nick, if I'd asked you to make a life-size cardboard cutout that I could write some things on in my sermon, is that, you know...
He made that for me. I didn't do it.
All right. Thankfully... I prepared a backup plan, not that, you know, I was doubting your ability. Just stay there, both of you. Yell that.
It's so fashionable.
Here we go. That's what you get for not doing... Oh, this is a tighter gap.
I can't breathe.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, having worked with the youth group for the last 8 months or so, I've got a pretty good idea of what the problem with youth today is, but I wonder what ideas you've got. Hannah. Put it away.
Lazy.
Thank you. Somebody's awake. Hang on. Probably not everyone can see that. Nick, can you stand up there? All right. Try not to fall on the chair. Excellent. Here we go.
Yeah.
Woo! I don't know if you looked in the mirror, Jamin, but... I feel like we gave you enough hints during the first half of the service of things.
Too rowdy.
Rowdy. I'm a bit disappointed that's all the young people so far. Self-absorbed. That's a good segue, because if you look, everyone should have their Bibles open, page 967, I think it was.
I've got a Bible on my phone.
That's all right, if it's on your phone, it's probably not on page 967. Because funnily enough, that's one of the things Paul says is wrong with young people today, they don't honour their parents.
My parents aren't here.
They also can't spell. Actually, that's just my problem. Someone else, if you're looking in verses... 1 to 5, you'll get some other ideas of things that Paul says is wrong with young people today. So far we've got like one on his list. Just settle down. Oh, I've got don't honour their parents. That's ungrateful. Excellent. Well, just settle down. Huh? Reckless.
We're standing on chairs.
Wait, you need to call out loudly and one at a time because I'm deaf.
That's why you need the youth. Too beautiful.
Nice try. Huh? Pleasure seekers.
Lovers of money.
Lovers of money. Know it all. That's kind of proud. They think they know it all.
I do.
You guys have been doing a good job calling out things. Can I have some more answers from this side of the room? Beg your pardon? Forget God. Okay, lovers of self, not lovers of God, is what Paul says. Beg your pardon? 40-year-old. Yeah. Hold on to that thought. Huh? 40-year-olds, you're a bit more responsible. Let's think about the good role models that we provide for young people. 40? You're the closest thing to a tall, reliable, broad-shouldered person I could find at 10:35.
I am about to sign the
What does Paul... How are we good role models? How do we set a good example to the youth?
Yeah, we smile.
I don't know if I'm alright. This one. I'll put smile, but, you know. Nothing? Work hard. Okay, so that was...
Very gritty. They're very gritty. We're
very patient. Patient and long-suffering. Yeah. We get... excellent. You're cottoning on to the fact that... persecuted. Thank you. That's an R. You're cutting onto the fact that Paul provides a lift of what a good role model, what a good grown-up old person looks like in the other following verses. I've lost my reference now.
Reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. See, if I'd asked one of you...
Love.
Patient.
Faith.
Committed.
Perfect.
Huh? Nearly perfect. Proficient for every good work. Right. Let's see how we went with into teaching. We said that they're closer to knowing it all, maybe. Conduct, aim in life, their dedication. Their aim in life. My aim in life, Paul says. You've seen all that. All right. We probably have a few more things we could fill out here, but it's a really...
YOLO.
Okay, that's enough. We can push the point too much. Paul fills out a much longer list there. There's probably not enough space, but he goes, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And you guys surely aren't that. Ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderous, profligates. Who knows what profligates is? Wasteful, excellent, thank you. Recklessly extravagant and wasteful. Brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's no wonder that Paul says avoid these people. No offence to you guys, but it's no wonder he says that. Look at the kind of people they are. But look at the kind of people we are. And that Paul was.
I don't know
what
they brag about
themselves. We brag. Okay. No. You can't get away with it like that. Here's the thing, though. Paul really wasn't talking about beware of young people there like this, was he? Look back at verses 1 and 2. What does he say? Yeah, in the last days, people will be like this. He's wanting Timothy to be aware that it's not young people. This is not so much the problem with youth as... I've jumped ahead. This is the problem. This is what people will be like in the last days. But he's not saying this to Timothy just so that he's aware to be on the lookout for these kind of people and avoid them. There's something more going on here. Because what he's saying is that these just aren't people outside the church or out in the world, or that successive generations will be like this and get worse and worse and worse. The real danger is that the people within the church will be like this. We might become like this. This isn't so much the problem with youth as a potential, what could be a problem with you. Be on the lookout for this. He says in verse 5, these are those who hold to an outward form of godliness but deny its power. He's not warning Timothy that these are people outside the church, out in the world, kind of the people you might meet on the street and you should avoid them. He's warning him that this is what people, what we can become like. Holding to an outward form of godliness, professing faith, proclaiming that we are righteous and kind of talking the talk, but not really walking the walk. The contrast, he says, is in his life and example. He says to Timothy, "You've seen how I've lived. You've seen my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and my sufferings, the things that I have endured." He's saying, my walk and my talk have matched up. He's saying, beware you don't fall into this trap, that you don't end up living like this, putting on a show, but inwards being hollow and empty. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Denying God's Spirit. That power that works within us to strengthen us to love and endure, to serve, and to be steadfast in the face of persecution and temptation. Instead, he's saying, follow my life and my example. Along with Paul, I wonder what examples and models you've had in your life. Who have been your role models in faith? Who are those whose lives you want to emulate? Who to you is a living example of what it means to follow God and to serve Him? Paul's warning Timothy to be on the lookout for these kind of people. But there's also a warning there that we don't become this kind of person. But an encouragement then to look for good role models and to follow them and emulate them. He says we need good role models because of the reality that we all face. Verse 12, he says, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He said this time and time and again in this letter. Being a Christian isn't easy. Those who genuinely want to live a godly life, who desire to follow God with their whole life, will face trouble and strife. It'll be a hard road. Given that, it's reasonable to ask, who would want to be a Christian anyway? Who'd want to put up with all that pain and suffering? Who'd want to follow the example of Paul when you could take the easy way out and put on a show and get away with things? Because it looks like those who live for themselves seem to prosper. But Paul warns in verse 13 that that's not really the case. Wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse. They will progress, but in the wrong direction. They're just deceiving others. And what's worse, they're deceiving themselves. They're kidding themselves. They're blind to their real situation, oblivious to the judgment and punishment that lies ahead of them. So in the face of opposition, when we're tempted to shy away, when we face persecution and suffering, we need to stand our ground. We need to look for those good role models in our life and to follow them even more closely when the going gets tough. Why don't we, these guys have shown great patience and endurance and steadfastness. Why don't we give them a hand and let them sit down? Watch yourself. Along with looking for good role models and seeking to follow them, Paul encourages Timothy in another way. He says there's another way you can stand firm and stand fast. It's because you've known since you... he says in verse 14, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learnt it. He reminds Timothy that he's known God's word, that he's already believed in it and put his trust in it. He knows it's reliable. And he's known and heard what Paul has said And he's seen that that matches up with the way Paul has lived his life, that they're entirely consistent. So he encourages them, Timothy, to not just follow my example, but continue in the faith that you've read about in the scriptures, the faith that you've heard me speak about. He reminds Timothy that what Paul has said, what he's heard others say, the call to live and love is entirely in accordance with God's word. And he says, Timothy's blessed because he's known from childhood the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy's fortunate that he's taken in God's word almost with his mother's milk. We read back in chapter 1 of Lois and Eunice who passed the faith on to him. Timothy knows God's word intimately, and he knows that the false teachers, those who seek to live in other ways, can't deliver on their promises. Those who put on a show of godliness and expect that that will see them through can't deliver on their promises. Because no other gospel can satisfy. No message that we hear from the world compares. It's only the gospel that Paul proclaims, that he was handed to by Christ, that he's passed on to Timothy and now expects Timothy to pass on to others, that is grounded in the truth of Christ's death and resurrection. The only path to salvation, to forgiveness of sins, to eternal life with God, comes through faith in Christ Jesus. And it's only in God's word that we read about that, that we know what it looks like. It's only through reading God's word that we can know and understand the gospel, and that through that we can put our faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. Here's the first step in my little questions before in that notice about how would you go sharing the gospel with those around you. The first and really great step is to know your Bible well so that you can share with them the sacred writings that instruct us on salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But more than being just useful in instructing us in that and helping us to put our faith in Christ and be saved, Paul reminds us that all scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. Paul says every text of scripture has been inspired by God. He's not saying it was literally dictated, that God had the prophets and other people sit down at their typewriters or phones or computers or whatever and type out exactly what he was saying, but that God breathed the scriptures, that he inspired them, that he inspired the prophets and writers, that they put flesh on the words, but that their source was God himself. There are plenty of books that I've read that I found inspiring, plenty of authors that I love reading whatever they've written, and if a new book comes out, I'm quick to order it on Book Depository or something and can't wait for it to get there, and you kind of look for when the next edition is coming out. But more than hungering after human words, Paul says we should hunger after God's word. And he says we should hunger after every part of God's word, because all scripture, every text is inspired by God. Paul's saying we can't neglect reading any part of our Bibles. I wonder, when you read the Bible, do you favour one book or one genre over another? I know it's easier to read the Gospels or the letters in the New Testament or the Psalms and Proverbs, but Paul says every text of Scripture is profitable and useful. When was the last time you read Amos or Haggai or Numbers from start to finish? Every text of Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable and useful. That's one of the reasons we strive to have a breadth in our preaching program here at St. Tom's. Why, when we finish 2 Timothy, we're going to dive into the book of Micah. I wonder how your private reading is going, and how reading the Bible in small groups is. Are you neglecting any part of God's word? I think a year and a half ago, I shared this handy Bible reading chart. I think it was when we were preaching through Titus. And you'll get a copy after the sermon in a minute and where you can find it. But I find this really handy. It's got every chapter of the Bible marked out, and you can cross it off when you read it. If you can use this as your reading plan, or if you're using some other reading guide, or you just happen to read a bit here and there, you can mark it off. And it's a really handy guide to see, where have I missed out yet? What bits of the Bible haven't I yet read? And then maybe you'd like to go and read them to make sure you're not neglecting any part of God's Word. Because all Scripture, every text is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's Word teaches us the truth. It's God's Word that will call us back when we're straying from the truth, that will correct us when we've strayed into error. And it's God's Word that shows us how we should live. And it's God's Word that makes us proficient, fully equipped for doing every good work. Jamin was here on Friday to install some spotlights in the other worship space. And he brought with him quite an array of tools. I could name some of them, not many. Now, he might have been able to get the job done with a pair of pliers and a drill bit, maybe. I don't really think so. He needs his tools to do his job properly. And he needs to know how to use them. That's true, I'm assuming, Jamin. How much more so for us as Christians, that we need to be thoroughly equipped by God's Word. For in it we find every tool, everything we need for salvation. Everything we need to be trained and taught to live the way God wants us to. In it we find the tools we need so that we're ready for every good work that God has called us to do. So I wonder how your Bible reading is going. And I wonder how what you're reading is matching up with how you're living. And I wonder in that, who are your role models? Who are those that you are seeking to emulate and be encouraged by? What we're going to do now is, I'm just going to give you some time to think about those questions yourself. We're going to take 3 or 4 minutes, and Ellen and some of the other youth are going to run around. And I've got those questions just down on a bit of paper. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes to think about that. Start hanging them. Yeah. And to consider, what aspects of self-love do I need to watch out for, or what do I need to bring to God and ask for his help with? Think about who your role models and mentors are, and what about their life and faith do you most want to grow in? And if you don't have a role model or a mentor like that, think about what area of your life you might like to grow in, and then think about who you might ask to help you with that. And some space and time to think about how your Bible reading and prayer is going, and what you might need to do to ensure you're trained and taught and equipped and instructed by God's Word. I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to think about those questions, and you can take this home and keep reflecting on it. And on the back is that Bible reading guide.